Yahweh bless you. And tonight, the teaching is going to be the holiness to Yahweh. So the word holy and the standing our position to our beloved Creator. So we'll begin with 1 Peter chapter 1, page 239 in the New Testament. I believe in our society, at least the society I was raised up in, holiness is something that has completely been lost to a great extent. And we really have no idea of what it even entails, of purity of some kind. And now we know, supposedly with the Christian administration, many people have taken that it really doesn't matter because it's all been done by Christ. And so no matter how you live, you're not going to be held accountable. Which is not the case. And so we got to go back to the Word and see what Yahweh requires. So in chapter 1, verse 14 through 18, knowing that not with corruptible things, with 14 through 18, started the wrong place. As obedient persons, not configuring yourselves unto your former coveting is your ignorance, in your ignorance, but according as he hath called you as holy, do you yourselves also become what?
Holy.
Holy in all manners of what?
Behavior.
Behavior. Inasmuch as it is written, holy shall you be, because I am holy. And if our Father, you are invoking him who, without respect of persons, judges according to each man's work, with reverence for the time of your sojourning, behave ye. Knowing that not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, have you been redeemed from your unmeaning behavior, parentally handed down, but with the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished, unspotted, of an anointed one. That begins our journey into holiness. We go to Leviticus chapter 11, page 135, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus 1.
Leviticus 1.
No, I mean, 11:1.
11:1, okay.
And Yahweh spake unto Moses and unto Aharon, saying unto them, now we're going to, that's our context, now we're going to go to verse 43 to 45. Do not make your persons abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall you make yourself unclean with them, that you should become unclean thereby, for I am Yahweh your Elohim, therefore shall you hallow. And the word hollow is the word holy. So we've got, we'll be getting into, the two words we're going to be talking about. Hollow is the verb form of holy. So holy is the noun form. Hollow is the verb of the same word. So the verb is kadash. Now he translated hollow. Or consecrated, consecrated, other things, but it's hollow.
And
the noun, and that kadash is 06942. That's the verb. And the noun is 06944, Kodesh, which is like G-O-D-S-H. That's how it's pronounced. The other one's pronounced like Gadash, G-A-D-S-H. They're spelled differently, you know. No, that's their spelling. But with us, it's like Ka, because we got the G-O in there, or G-A. Now we look at, so holy, or be hollow. 44, for I, Yahweh, am your Elohim. Therefore shall you hollow yourself and remain what? Holy. So there's both words in the same sentence. One's a verb, you know, the other one's a noun. For holy in what?
Hi.
Most of us, and in our world, there's such a disrespect for our Creator, I think. There's such an unreverential regard, and you know the cuss words that can come out, and the lack of doing piety and doing good things for people, realizing I don't want to ever disrespect my Creator, my Heavenly Father. And it's like most people, a great percentage, to care less about their Heavenly Father. And that, I think, is the United States to a great part, because you know we're so dependent on government to be our source of supply compared to what they call a non-industrialized nation. You get into the Sudan and places like that, or Latin America, 90% of the people think God is important. They God don't have doctors. They don't have IRAs. They don't have
God
retirement
is important.
Important. God is important.
Oh, okay, good.
In England, 15% of the people. Okay. In Canada, 15% of the people. In the United States, we're the only industrialized country that's like 50% believe that God's important. France, not. Japan, not.
Australia.
Everybody else is just gone.
Australia.
Because they don't need him anymore, because we have government.
That's right.
To be our provider. But that, obviously, that's what Hitler said. That's what, you know, Stalin said. That's what all these people who lost their lives because they were leaning upon government instead of upon Yahweh.
Yeah.
Now I'll keep reading 45. For I, Yahweh, am he that brought you up out of the land of Egypt, that I might become your Elohim. Therefore shall ye be what?
Holy.
Holy, for holy am I. I mean, how many times have you got to say it? This is very important. 19, chapter 19. Verse 1. 19, verse 1 of Leviticus. And Yahweh spake unto... Let me ask you this. Make a statement. On the new earth, are people going to be holy? On the new earth, or you say in heaven, are people holy?
Yeah.
Can they be unholy?
No.
That's not an option.
No.
You know, it's not a cuss word. Well, I want to be unholy in heaven, when people say heaven. Or it's really not going to be in heaven, it's going to be the new earth. It's not an option. It's holiness.
Mm-hmm. What is holiness?
Separate.
Yeah, it's separating from the world. And what we're going to see is always the separation. You know, we have been delivered from an evil age, as we saw, that's in Galatians.
Mm-hmm.
And as you see from the fall of Adam and Eve, which we're going to find out, is death is reigned, and that is separation from Yahweh. So when I do not obey Yahweh, I am not holy. So obedience to Yahweh is holiness. It's a separation from the lust of the world. 19, verse 1 through 4. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the assemblies of the sons of Israel, and thou shalt say unto them, holy shall ye be, for holy am I, Yahweh your Elohim. Ye shall every one revere his father and his mother, and my Sabbath shall you observe. I, Yahweh, am your Elohim. Do not turn unto things of naught, and molten gods shall you not make to yourselves. I, Yahweh, am your Elohim. So how much clearer can we get in chapter 20 of Leviticus 7 and 8? Therefore shall you hallow, that's holy, the verb, you hallow yourself and be holy, because I, Yahweh, am your Elohim. Therefore shall you observe my... So how do you become holy? Therefore shall you observe my statutes and do them. I, Yahweh, am he that is hallowing you, making you holy. It's very simple. Do what he says, and like anything else, the parent, it's the same thing. Obey me. You want to say you care about me, you love me, obey me. And that is action, service. So we went into the holy. Now, interesting, the first usage of kadash, which is hollow, the verb of holy.
Would you mind spelling that again?
Yeah, they spell it G-A-D-E-S-H.
Ruach Kodesh.
Yeah, and the noun is Kodesh, which is G-O-D-E-S-H. Yeah. But the first use, you have to say, let's see where this is used. The first usage is Genesis 2, 3. Now the verb. And then we'll go to the noun. Imran, you can read that, 2, 3 of Genesis.
Okay. And Yahweh blessed...
No, remember, in the Old Testament, G-O-D Elohim. Is Elohim. And we only do that with the New Testament. And if you're not sure, just read the words that are there. If you're not sure, just read the words.
What verse?
Verse 3. 2, 3. Okay. And Elohim...
And Elohim blessed the seventh day and hallowed it.
There it is. There it is.
Hallowed it, yeah.
There it is. Hallowed it. The seventh day is holy unto Yahweh. He hallowed it. That's the verb. Because therein rested he from all his work which Elohim, by creating, had made. The first usage of Kodesh, which is the noun, is Exodus 3, verse 4.
Huge difference between a verb and a noun.
Yeah, actually, exactly. All the words really come from the verb and then the nouns. So a noun is a person, place, or thing.
Okay.
Verb is action.
It's action. And so the whole foundation of language is the verb, not the nouns. Because you get to have past action, future action, present action, delayed action. So the language is, to say Rome, well, that's a personal, noun, but a common noun is man. I can't do anything with man. Man is it. That's it. What can I do? Man's or man is running. Man ran. Man
runs.
Runs. Man did run. And so the verb tells you, puts the whole story together. Without the verbs, we have nothing.
So you have whole. It's and you have hallowed is the verb.
Okay.
And holy is the noun.
Is the noun. Okay. The same thing, and it's just like we have love, and it can be a verb or a noun. You know, I love you, that's the verb. Let me see.
God
is love is my favorite thing. And that's the noun. And now I put it into the same way with faith or believing can be the same situation.
And where did you say in Exodus?
3 verse 4. This is great. Page 86, Genesis, Exodus. And Yahweh saw that he turned aside to see, we're talking about Moses, so Elohim called unto him out of the midst of the thorn bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, behold me. And he said, do not draw hither, put off thy sandals from thy feet, for the place whereon thou art standing is what?
Holy.
That's the first usage of Kodesh, is holy ground. And he said, I am the Elohim of thy father, Elohim of Abraham, Elohim of Isaac, and Elohim of Jacob. And Moses, what? Hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon Elohim. Very important. And there's the reverence that we have. Now, when you're approaching unto a holy entity, the holy creator, If you're out of disobedience, you can die. And so we saw that with Genesis 3:16. You shall die. And this is really our whole story. This whole book's story is choose life or choose death. Live or die. You live if you obey and do not rebel. You die if you do not obey and you rebel. Very simple story. It's not heaven. It's not hell. It's life or death. That's what the whole choice is. Do I want to live forever with my King and my Creator in a holy, holy, holy place, which I do, and I think everybody here expects that, or the person who says, no, I want fornication and I want drunkenness. Well, guess what? It's not going to be there. You're not going to like it. Lect out. Okay, you got that choice. So we see that in Genesis 2:16, very simply, and what is holiness? And Yahweh Elohim laid command on the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it, for in that day thou eatest thereof thou shalt die.
Yes.
Very simply, that is unholy. So the first occurrence of being unholy, which means I do not do what Yahweh says. And what the serpent says in 3:4, chapter 3, verse 4, and the same thing today, and the serpent said unto the woman,
yes,
you shall not die. Very simple, the same lies today. You shall not die. Everybody's got an immortal soul. Everybody's going to live someplace. When people die, they're not dead. They're actually with grandpa playing golf and fishing and things like that in this place. Same lie of the adversary, nothing different. Now we go to Exodus chapter 19.
Exodus?
Yes. Exodus chapter 19, verse 3. I'm going to read a little story.
Verse what?
Verse 3. This is a preparation of Moses was on holy ground, which is by Mount Sinai. He's going to bring people to that holy ground, to that holy God.
Sorry, Danny, what chapter?
Chapter 19, verse 3 to 13. And you want to read, Wendy?
Yeah. 3 through 13?
Yeah, and if you get tired, I can take over.
And when Moses had gone up unto Elohim, then called Yahweh unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you up upon wings of eagles, and brought you in unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will indeed hearken to my voice, and keep my covenant, then shall you be mine.
Stop right there. Is that a condition?
Is that a what?
If you will hearken, if you hearken to my voice,
okay,
and keep my covenant, this is the deal. Mm-hmm. So somebody says, you can buy my car if you give me the money.
Yeah.
But if you don't give me the money, you're not going to get my car. Those are called covenants, which we're also going to incorporate. There's a bilateral covenant, and there's a unilateral covenant. And bi means what?
Two.
So
this is the bilateral.
A bilateral is where the parties both contribute to the ultimately agreed position. These days, the formal agreement between binding by the signing on the dotted line. In Bible times, there were certain procedures to be followed in cutting a covenant. There are three elements, a sign, a promise, and a meal. Unilateral covenant is a contract or a formal agreement to do something. It can be unilateral. Uno means what?
One.
A unilateral covenant is like the drawing up of a will or a testament, where the person has virtually no constraints on what they decide, and the other party or parties have no say at all. And so today I believe most people think they're in a unilateral covenant with Yahweh, which means nothing's required by them. And that is because it's grace and it's free and Christ did it all. It's just unilateral. Well, if it was unilateral, then everybody is going to be on the new earth. So we're going to find out later is the unilateral agreement was that I'm not going to flood the earth again.
Right.
That was unilateral, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a promise to us. Did we do anything for that promise?
No.
No, we did not do anything for that promise. There was nothing agreed upon for us. That's what Yahweh ended up doing. So we got to incorporate this with obedience and being holy and covenants. And today, marriage is supposed to be a covenant. And the covenant can
bilateral covenant.
No, bilateral covenant. And here's what you agreed to, but people have made it where it's not a covenant at all. It's not bilateral because they're promising things they cannot keep. So you cannot promise something you cannot keep. If you say until death do us part, well, I can't keep that covenant, so I should never say that. And so, as rich or poor, in sickness or in health, till death do us part. This has nothing to do with this book. Because in covenant, it is specifically what you're being required to do. And I'm required to do this word, and when a person steps out of this word, they break that covenant. And once they break that covenant, if a person commits adultery in a marriage, they have broken the covenant, which means the other person has the legal right to end that covenant. Right?
Right.
Very simply. And there's many, many things that can happen. So why would anybody ever say, until death do us part? That's not, that's just ridiculous. And so they're broken all the time because there's no way you can even keep it. And so what people are saying in the United States, at least, and through kingdoms, is ridiculous. And that's our church fault, because they're the ones who are actually probably doing it. I got ahead of myself, but in Exodus, but I stopped here at covenant. Let's do verse 5 again.
Now, therefore, if you will indeed hearken to my voice and keep my covenant, then shall ye be mine as a treasure beyond all the peoples. For mine is all the earth, but ye shall be mine as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the sons of Israel. Then came Moses and called for the elders of the people, and put before them all these words which Yahweh had commanded him. And all the people responded together and said, all that Yahweh hath spoken will we do.
Now this is very important. Now listen, these guys are making a covenant. Did they just say that?
Yeah.
All that Yahweh has spoken, we will do.
And Moses took back the words of the people unto Yahweh. Then said Yahweh unto Moses, lo, I am coming unto thee in the veiling of a cloud, in order that the people may hear when I speak to them, with them. Moreover also, that in thee they may trust to time's age abiding. Then told Moses the words of the people unto Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto Moses, go unto the people, and thou shalt hallow them.
There's that word, hallow them.
Today and tomorrow, and they shall wash their clothes, and shall be ready by the third day. For even on the third day will Yahweh come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Excuse me. So then thou shalt set bounds for the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mountain, nor touch the boundary thereof. Whosoever toucheth the mountain shall surely die.
And there it is. Okay, why? Because you're not holy. Very simple. This is the holy mountain. Moses can come up. He is holy. The rest of you cannot come up. No hand shall touch it, but he shall be surely stoned or be surely shot. Whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the ram horn soundeth, then themselves shall come up within the mount. So we're also going to incorporate it into what Christ has actually accomplished by making us holy. Now we go to Exodus 20. This is called, we're not going to read it, but it's called the Ten Words, or the Ten Commandments. As you know, everybody's familiar with the Ten Commandments. So here's the covenant that's being done. Yahweh says, I'll be your God, your Elohim, if you do what? The Ten Commandments. Right? Okay. And then we go to chapter 20, verse 18 to 21. And they're hearing this off the mound. And all the people were witnessing the voices and the torches and the sound of the horn, and the mountain smoking. So then the people were struck with awe.
Fear.
Fear, that's right. Correct uses. And shrank back and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. Let not Elohim speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, do not fear, for to the end he may prove you, hath Elohim come. And to the end the reverence of him may be upon your faces, that you sin not. So how do you become holy? You sin not. It's really simple. And when you sin, you confess your sins. Alright?
What verse?
Oh, that was in verse 20.
Okay, thank you.
Chapter 20, verse 20. We're about done with that. Sorry. 21. So then the people stood afar off, and Moses approached into the thick gloom where Elohim was. Now we have a story. Whatever Yahweh says, we'll do, right? He gives the Ten Commandments. And now if we look at chapter 21. Now these are the regulations which thou shalt put before them. And now he starts going into other details about having sexual intercourse with who and with not with, about killing people, about murdering, about this. And it goes all the way through here. We got page after page. And that's 21. He's on the mountain getting all these things down. And the people are waiting because whatever Yahweh says, we'll do. He comes down in chapter 24. Now we're going to read 1 through 11. Exodus 24, 1 through 11. And go ahead, Melania.
And unto Moses he said, come up unto Yahweh, thou and Aaron, and Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel.
Remember those two names. These are Aharon's sons. Very important. So we're going to be coming back to them. And go on, and 70 of the elders of Israel.
So shall ye bow yourselves down from afar, and Moses alone shall draw near unto Yahweh, but they shall not draw near, and the people shall not come up with him. So Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of Yahweh and all the regulations, and all the people responded with one voice and said, all words which Yahweh hath spoken we will do.
Okay, I'll read now. Here we go again. This is their covenant. Then wrote Moses all the words of Yahweh, and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the mountain and 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the sons of Israel, and they caused to go up ascending sacrifices and slew peace offerings to Yahweh of oxen. Then took Moses half of the blood, and this is what we're doing. We are ceremonializing the covenant that we just made. Took half of the blood and put it in a basin, and half of the blood dashed he over the altar. Then took he the book of the covenant. That's what we're talking about. This is a bilateral agreement. And read in the ears of the people. Okay, do you know what you're entering into? And this is what marriage should be. You know, here's what you're expected to do. Boom, 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 boom. And you have to say, number eight, I can't do number eight. Well, it is true. Don't get married. I shouldn't get married because I can't keep number eight. And so if a person's word means something, that's what they'll do. Instead of saying, well, I'll say whatever you said, whatever it takes to get the gig, because my word means nothing. You know, I lie all the time. I deceive people all the time to get what I want. And sorry to say, that's what people do. Let me say it again. Then took he the book of the covenant and read in the ears of the people, and they said, all that Yahweh has spoken will we do, and we'll hearken. That's the third time. Then Moses took the blood and dashed over the people and said, lo, the blood of the covenant which Yahweh hath solemnized with you over all these words. So very simply, this is what we're getting into. Then went up Moses and Aharon, Nadab and Abihu, and those are the two sons of Aharon, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the Elohim of Israel, and under his feet like a pavement of sapphire, and like the very heavens for brightness. This is a very special place to be. Right? Out of millions of people, or billions of people that have been on the earth, you've got 70 people with Moses, Aharon, and his two sons. Yahweh is revealing this to him. And we're going to find out what that happens to Nadab and Abihu.
Abihu.
And against the nobles of the sons of Israel put he not forth his hand. So then they had vision of Elohim and did eat and drink. And this is a great opportunity. Now we go to chapter 32 of Exodus. And we know what happened. You get 40 days later, the covenant you made, you broke. It's a great percentage of you broke. Not only you broke, you got a new God. And so when Moses was on the mount, it was the 40 days is a number of probation. And it's like a parent saying, can you take care of the house? Yes, I can. And then they have a camera in the house, and you don't know about, and they go off. And they just watch. And all of a sudden, you start doing things that you're not supposed to be doing, and you've broken their agreement. You've broken their trust. And that's what Yahweh says, and all of a sudden, back, and they got a God. They got a God. And to make things holy again, all right, somebody's going to die who started this. And so if we go into verse 28 of chapter 32, same chapter. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell from among the people on that day about 3,000 men that obviously were instigators and responsible for so much of this, but he put them to death. Just like if they came up to the holy mount, you would have been put to death. So you are put to death to stop this. Now, we go to Leviticus, Exodus Leviticus, chapter 6. Now we're getting into Levitical law, and we're getting to see about the severity of how Yahweh takes this. Let's see here. Let's say it started 8, Leviticus 6, 8. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, command Aharon and his sons, saying, this is the law of the ascending sacrifice, the same as the ascending sacrifice, which is upon the hearth, upon the altar, all the night till the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be what?
Be kept burning therein.
The altar fire was never to go out. Because Yahweh started the fire, so it was a holy fire from eternity, for age abide, it's supposed to be. You just keep the fuel on. And we keep these coals. Now you go to 12:13, verse 12. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning therein. It shall not be suffered to go out, but the priest shall kindle up there pieces of wood, morning by morning, and shall set in order thereupon the ascending sacrifice, and shall make a perfume thereon with the fat piece of the peace offering. Fire shall continue to be kept burning on the altar. It shall not be suffered to go out. Well, something happens to Aharon's sons. Chapter 10, Leviticus 10, verse 1. They're the ones who got to see Yahweh's presence, in visions. I mean, what an elite people. And you made a covenant with Yahweh, and you were so special. So remember, you got the holy, you got the temple area, which is called, not Debar, but it's called the Naos for the time being. You got the holy chamber, and then you got the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies, you only went in once a year, and only the high priest. But before the curtain of the Holy of Holies is an incense altar. And you are burning incense morning and night. And those are prayers to Yahweh. Who's behind the curtain?
Yeah.
So his presence is behind the curtain. And so there's a glow coming out behind this curtain. Because, it was light, like a cloud, that's going in there. And so you have, as a priest, which they are, because they're sons of Aharon, they have the privilege of burning incense. But where was the fire supposed to come from?
Yahweh.
The altar. Because this is the fire that Yahweh did, and they didn't do this. So we're going to see here, verse 1, chapter 10. Then Aharon's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took each man his censer, and placed therein fire, and put therein incense, and brought near before Yahweh, what?
Strange fire.
But we're the sons of Aharon. We have special privileges, which he had not commanded them. And so you had just become what? Unholy.
Because you're in a place where you...
Yeah, you have just become unholy in the holy place.
So they're going to get struck just like the mountain.
Yeah. Then came there forth fire from before Yahweh and consumed them, and they died before Yahweh. Then said Moses unto Aharon, the very thing that Yahweh spake, saying... And men that draw near unto me, must I be, what, hallowed, holy. And before the faces of all the people, must I get myself honored. You think Yahweh wanted to do this? you know. But I've got to stick to my laws. You guys are toast. And not only to, those are Aaron's nephews.
No, Aaron's son.
I mean, Moses' nephews, Aharon's son, who's my priest. And Aharon was dumb. And dumb has nothing to do with this. You know, what does the word mean?
He just couldn't speak.
Yeah, you can't
speak. He was speechless.
Yeah. And so when people were dumb, since they didn't speak, people thought, well, okay, they're dumb. You know, no, I had no bearing on that. Now we go to 5 through 9.
Chapter 5?
I mean, it's no, same chapter, chapter 10, verse 5 through 9. So they drew near and bare them away in their tunics and unto the outside of the camp, as spake Moses. Then spoke Moses, said Moses unto Aharon and to Eleazar and to
Ithamar,
his sons. Next up, don't mess with Yahweh. And I think we have this it's almost like a cavalier attitude.
It's today's Sabbath, there's no reverence, there's no fear.
Yeah, there appears to be very little reverence. Your heads you may not bear, and your garments you shall not rent, so shall you not die. Because you are beholding what I'm telling you, do, and what will happen?
You'll live.
Yeah, you'll not die. Because otherwise I'm going to do. You're going to die, and I'll kill you. Right? Very simply is, your position is a very, very special position. I've got Moses, and then I've got you as a high priest. That's it. Mm-hmm. You are the guys, and then you have the Levites. All right, but you're the closest ones to me. And I have to have 100% fidelity. Watch out. You shall not die, neither against all the assembly will he be wrought. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the consuming fire, which Yahweh has consumed. But from the entrance of the tent of meeting shall you not go forth, lest what?
You die.
Just like your brothers. For the anointing oil of Yahweh is upon you, and they did according to the word of Moses. I mean, you're a special people. And it's the same way with our life many times. Stay holy. Just don't do it. And if you do it, repent very quickly. But if you think you can just say, it's grace, and you know, fornicate and do this and do that and steal from people and I thought, which we'll see. We'll get to see stuff. Now we go to Christ's holiness. And so you're looking at, what did Christ do? Because you're looking at, this is a tough God. All right? You were put to death by doing that. All right? So he means business. All he wants is fidelity. And so what did Christ end up accomplishing? And so we're going to see this in Hebrews chapter 9.
What does fidelity mean?
Faithfulness. Oh. So in marriage, a person is supposed to be faithful to their wife or husband. You're supposed to be faithful to your country, the United States of America. You're faithful to it. You're faithful to your God. And that's also, so it's whoever you're faithful to. It can be brothers and sisters. Page 229 in the New Testament. If you read all of 9 and 10, we don't have the time to do it. Explains a lot of this, but what Christ accomplished. Look at chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. And when Christ approached as high priest of the coming good things, through the greater and more perfect tent, not made by hands, that is, not of this creation, nor yet through blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered once for all into the holy place.
So just like the Holy of Holies.
Yeah, that's right. Holy of Holies. But at one time, he did it, it sealed it. So the tent's been removed. Not the tent, yeah. The curtain, the veil has been removed. Age abiding redemption discovering. Now go to chapter 10, verse 5. Whereas coming into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou willest not, but a body hast thou fitted for me. And whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou didst not delight. Then said I, lo, I am come, in the heading of the scroll it is written concerning me, to do, O Elohim, or O Yahweh, thy will. Higher up saying, sacrifice and offerings and whole burnt offerings of sacrifices for sin, thou wilt not, neither delighteth them, the which according to the law are offered. Then hath he said, lo, I am come to do thy will. He taketh away the first, and the second he may establish. By which will we have been what?
Made holy.
Made holy. By which will we, and this is why we can receive Holy Spirit. Because if I'm not a holy person, I can't have Holy Spirit.
Right.
And people in the Old Testament, majority, a very few ever had Holy Spirit. Because David was one. You know, the prophets had it. But this is because we have been made holy. Through the offering of the body of Yahushua Mashiach once and for all. You see. And every priest indeed standeth daily publicly ministering, and the same sacrifice oftentimes offering, the which never can clear away sins. But this priest, having offered one sacrifice for sins evermore, sat down on the right hand of Yahweh, as for the rest, waiting until his foes be made his footstools, which is great. The people are, you know, the Democratic Party is his foes. And they will be judged, and they will pay their price. For by one offering hath he perfected forevermore them who are what? Being made holy. For even the Holy Spirit beareth his witness. And after having said, this is the covenant which I will covenant unto them, after those days, saith Yahweh, giving my laws upon their hearts, upon their understanding also will I inscribe them. He also saith, of their sins and of their lawlessness I will in no wise be mindful any more. Mm-hmm. But wherever a remission of these is, there is no further offering for sins. So we're seeing what Christ ended up doing. And we go to Ephesians chapter 1, page 196, 1 verse 3. Now, 3 and 4, Melania.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yahushua Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, according as he made choice of us in him before the founding of a world.
Why?
So that?
That.
Wait,
whenever you have the word that, we must ask why. Why? That we might be holy and blameless in his presence. Why was this all this done? That we might be holy and blameless in his presence.
Because we couldn't be in his presence if we weren't holy.
Yeah.
And so what Christ has done is just phenomenal. Yeah. Is what it's come down to. Well, we're special, but we're still required to be holy. Chapter 2. And well, why would we not want to be holy? No, I want to be demonized.
No, I'm not.
I want to walk in darkness. I don't want, you know, he says it's no fun. I'm going to pay a big price for this sin. I don't think so. I think I can get away with this sin. And that's what the Clintons have done. You know, you're looking at that, and Epstein, and all these other guys who got lured into pedophiles. And all of a sudden, guess what? Cop! We got you now. And let me see here, 19...
Okay, what chapter?
Yeah, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. Hence then, no longer are you strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens of the holy ones. Saint means holy ones.
Yeah.
And members of the household of Yahweh, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, there being the chief cornerstone, Yahushua Mashiach himself, in whom an entire building, in the process of being fitly joined together, is growing into a holy shrine in Yahweh, a holy shrine, in whom you also are being built together into a habitation of Yahweh in spirit. That's where we're headed. And that's where our incentive is. And so when people start getting this age that we live in, which is the age of grace, they're confusing the saying that we don't have to be holy, because Christ paid for it all. And there's some verses that they're overlooking. So 2 Corinthians 5.
What?
2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Thank you.
verse 10. And so it appears that way. You know, so many times we look at a scripture, it looks like it this way, but you got to bring these other scriptures and you go, well, that changes that whole appearance. For we all must needs be made manifest before the what?
Judgment
seat of the Christ. Why are we going there? That each one may give back to things done by means of his body. Well, if I've done great things, that's what I want. I'm here for the rewards. I'm here to get paid. It's 184, sorry, of the New Testament. Way back. This is very important. I'll wait for you to get there.
Page 184.
I should have said that. In verse 10, for we must all needs be made manifest before the judgment seat of the Christ, that each one may get back to things done by means of the body, according to the things which he practiced, whether good or what?
Corrupt.
Very simply, wait a minute, I thought Christ paid for all the corruptness. No, not here, it's also in Colossians. You know, so we see Colossians 3:25. Now we get back to the covenant situation of, have we actually personally entered into a covenant with Yahweh in Christ? We'll stay on 2 Corinthians. This is very important too. 14, let's just go on down here.
For the love, hold on.
2 Corinthians 5:14.
Oh.
Most people say, no, it's a unilateral covenant. I was just giving it. All I got to say is, I'm in, and I get all the bounties, and that's what's required of me. That's how they look at it. For the love of the Christ constraineth us, having judged this, that one in behalf of all died, hence they all died, and in behalf of all died he. Why? Why did he do that? Austin? Why did he do it? Read the sentence underneath it.
In order that
they who live, go ahead.
No longer for themselves should live, but for him who in their behalf died and rose again.
Wow. I didn't know that was part of the agreement. That's part of the agreement is I want you to live for me. Well, let's call it a covenant.
You know, why?
You live for me, and I'll be your Lord, which means your master, and we'll go hand in hand throughout this world.
And I'm going to get you all kind of stuff.
Yeah, great stuff. Now, most people know of the covenants, and we know about, let's go into the one where Christ did the covenant on the bread and blood. And so we have to look at the significance there. Matthew 26:26. And so I think we have to start re-examining things. You know, if a person says, if you make Jesus your Lord, you get to go to heaven. What do you say? I'm in. And they never say, but here's what's required.
Yeah.
All right? That person you're having sex with,
you can't do that anymore. You gotta marry.
And that person you're stealing from, you can't do that anymore.
Person you owe money to?
Yeah, the person, and the people you are refusing to help, who need your help, you're going to help them. Oh, wait a minute, dude. I don't know if I'm in on that. And so they never told that to revival, so everybody says, yay, I'm in. Why? Because it's unilateral. It doesn't cost me anything. It's like saying, it's like having sex with a woman. Hey, can we have sex? Yeah, okay, I'm in. Huh. Wait a minute, but you're going to be my husband, and you're going to be my father of my children, and you're going to support me, and you're going to go to church, and you're going to read the Bible, and whoa. Wait a minute here, I'm not going for that. And see, that's what present Christianity today is. I can have it all. I can have sin and Christ. And so half the voters in the United States vote for the Democratic Party, which is sin. and they're evil. And they go to church at the same time, and not only there, Obama and them are in the church. And so are the Clintons in the same church, and the church allowed them in. Knowing who these devils are. He allows devils in your deal. But now we go to Matthew 26. I'll try to finish up. So it's very important to get a picture of the whole story so we can actually... 26.
Yeah.
And as they were eating, page 30. Yeah. Yahushua taking a loaf and blessing break and giving to his disciples said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And so this is the covenant also. So very simple, I have to say, how is this a covenant? Because if they didn't eat the bread and they didn't drink the wine, they refused the covenant. Very simply. So if they took the bread and they took the wine, you entered into a covenant with Christ. Right? If you did not, you say, "I'm not going to take the blood, I'm not going to take the bread," then you did not enter in. And taking a cup and giving thanks, he gave unto them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant." Remember Moses in Exodus 24? And he comes down and says, "Are you guys willing to do this?" And they say, "We're in." He takes the blood and starts sprinkling over the book. And this is a sign, like circumcision is, or with baptism. This is a sign of the covenant that we just entered into. "And the blood of the covenant, which for many is to be poured out for remissions of sins." But guess what? You have to take the bread and you have to drink the blood, or the wine at that particular time. And then you'll receive remission of sins. If you refuse to, and that really is making Christ your Lord. Very simple. You call me Lord, Lord, and do not want to say. And people take away that word. Lord means master. Wait a minute here. I want to go to heaven, but I don't want this guy to be my master. Nobody's my master. Right? Well, you can come on anyway. Just come on in. And that's how it works today. But we know, let's go into bilateral or unilateral covenants. Genesis chapter 6, and then we'll finish. Genesis chapter 6.
It makes sense that 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, it's almost like allowing the blood of Christ to sanctify you again.
Yeah.
If you don't confess that sin, then...
Yeah, well, it's funny. If it's not a covenant, if it's a unilateral agreement, that has no bearing. That has no bearing at all. So chapter 6, verse 13 and 14, this is Noah. So Elohim said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh has come in before me, for filling is the earth with violence because of them. Behold me, then destroy them with the earth. Make for thee an ark of timber of gopher, rooms thou shalt make with the ark, and thou shalt cover within and without with pitch." Let me see here. And then we go to 18. "Therefore will I establish my covenant with thee. And thou shalt enter into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." What's the covenant? What's the agreement? You build the ark.
Yeah.
If you don't build the ark,
you're going to ground.
Yeah, there ain't no covenant, boy. Really simple.
I never thought about
it. Yeah, it's just real simple. That's
you
the agreement.
There, you do. I'll tell
this,
you how
yeah,
to
this
do
is
it.
Your job. Put that together. My job is the rain's coming down. And we won't rock your boat and turn you over. So is that bilateral or unilateral?
Bilateral.
That's bilateral. Now in chapter 9, verse 9. "I therefore behold me, establishing my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living soul that is with you." Now here's where we start going. Every living soul with him. "Of birds, of tame beasts, of all wild beasts of the earth, that are with you, of all coming forth out of the ark, even to all the wild beasts of the earth. Yea, I will establish my covenant with you, so that all flesh shall not be cut off any more by reason of the waters of the flood." Well, is that bilateral or unilateral?
Bye.
No. Because the animals aren't making an agreement. The animals aren't doing anything. And the seed of Noah aren't doing anything.
They're not there yet.
Well, so all mankind are guaranteed they're not going to be flooded.
Uh-huh.
That's called a unilateral. Yahweh just made a covenant with all mankind.
Age abiding.
Yeah, it's not conditioned. So that's called a unilateral. Now we go to 17, Genesis 17. And we'll kind of stop on that.
17 verse.
Chapter verse 7 through 14. And I will confirm my covenant betwixt me and thee. And this is Abraham. And Abraham, was something required on Abraham to do this covenant? What was required?
Circumcision.
Yeah, no. Let's start off at the beginning.
Oh, he had to leave.
He had to leave his home. Did he do that?
Yes.
That's starting the covenant. And I will be your God. And I will, if you leave your home, I will give you seeds of the stars of the heaven. Mm-hmm. So here's your agreement. You leave. My agreement is I'll multiply you, and you'll be the father of all nations. Let me see here. And as you know that, and it goes right down through here, through 14, that if you the sign of the covenant is circumcision, and if you do not circumcise, what happens? You're out. So is this bilateral or unilateral?
Bilateral.
It's a bilateral covenant. Now the last place is Matthew chapter 25. So one other thing about back to being holy. Holy is not only what you don't do, which most of us is, don't murder. Now, so let's look at the Ten Commandments. Don't murder, don't steal, don't lie. Don't bear false witness, and don't covet your neighbor's good. Okay, that's good. That's it.
No, we got five more.
Yeah, but there's five about Yahweh in the front. Yeah. But there's nothing about my neighbor. Right?
No.
Okay, so let's look at Matthew 25. Oh, by reading the book, you're going to see there's something else. And Yahushua was saying, what are the two great commandments? Love Yahweh, and then what? Love my neighbor. What does that mean? I'm going to actually serve people. Mm-hmm. So my being holy is not just not sinning. Being holy is
action.
Is action, and we're going to see that in 25. It's called the goat and sheep judgment. Matthew 25, we're just going to read the last of the judgment. Verse 41 to 46. Then will he say unto those on his left hand, who are the goats, depart from me, accursed ones, into the age of body of fire which has been prepared for the adversary and his messengers. For you broke the first, second, third, fifth, five, ten commandments. No. Not one of them are going to be mentioned here. For I hungered, you gave me not to eat. What Ten Commandment is that? It's not on the Ten Commandment, is it? I was thirsty, and you gave me not to drink. Well, I don't remember that on the Ten Commandments. A stranger was I, and you took me not in. I don't remember that. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then will they also answer and say, Lord... Now these guys are being thrown into the
fire.
Lake of fire for what? For what they did not do.
Yeah.
Not what they did, but what they did not do. And as you know, the rest of it is. Because you didn't do it to them, you didn't do it for me. So that's where we should all strive to for holiness. And thank Yahweh that you have cleansed me, and through you, because of you, Yahweh looks at me as a holy, holy, holy person who has given me his spirit, his Ruach HaKodesh. So Ruach is spirit in Hebrew, and Ha is the, and Kodesh is holy. So in Hebrew it would be spirit, the holy. But you have given that to me, and I don't deserve any of it. So what's the difference between our age and the age before?
Holy Spirit.
It is... He has cleansed us where we can all receive Holy Spirit. When Christ was on the earth, it couldn't do that.
Was the Holy Spirit just upon people?
And one other thing, too, is a covenant. And here's another covenant, too. Very simply, people don't think of it, a bilateral covenant. It came to them in Matthew 19, 16 through 19. Lord, what must I do to receive life, age abiding?
Yeah.
Right? Do the commandments. So that's the covenant. Do the ten, love Yahweh, love your neighbor, And you get life, age, or body. That's a covenant. I mean, it's an agreement. A bilateral agreement. Don't do those, and you're not covenant. But then people say, well, that's works. That's works. The epistles are works all the way through. I mean, the church epistles is put off this, put off the old man, kill the old man. Do all this stuff. He wants us all to be holy. We should not say, you know, I guess it's almost like when you're an ambassador, where do you get that where you cannot be arrested in the country that you're in?
Diplomatic immunity.
So actually, we believe, as a Christian, I have diplomatic immunity, which means I can sin and you can't arrest me. Because I'm under grace, man, baby. I'm under grace. And we know that. You know, we had a Christian ministry, a big Christian ministry, where the head leader was committing fornication with their members all over the place. Other members, fornication was just a part of the community. And that's how bad it got. And that was with the way Ministry International. Just wicked. And people went on that grace and destroyed the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let alone on that and other places the people got
that's
that.
Funny. Well,
Go ahead and close out, then we can finish up. Thank you. We're going to have a word of prophecy for the people who are watching or listening. So, Father, we thank you for what a privilege it is to get everything in perspective and that we can be holy as you are holy. My sons and daughters, life is but a bountiful gift that I have bestowed upon you. You are my sons and my daughters whom I have placed here to be holy, to walk in my steps, to walk in my son's steps. Be imitators of me as children beloved and walk in love, even as the Christ also loved you and delivered himself up in your behalf and offering a sacrifice unto Yahweh. So we thank you for that verse, Father, and we thank you for these people that they can go ahead and take those verses and become a sacrifice that is well accepted by you through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.